Okay, here we go. Well, we're going to Psalm 42. The topic of today's teaching is, who do you pray to? Psalm 42. We'll start there. Now, we could have gone to a lot of places in the Old Testament to look at this, but I just picked a few that are blessing. I'm sure you have all your favorites. But in Psalm 42, verse 8, it says, that's where I am. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. It says here that prayer is to God. I know it's a very profound statement. But it is a very profound statement. Psalm 65, please. So here, he's talking about praying to God. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. So, who does it say that we pray to? God, right? Proverbs 15. Psalms and Proverbs, chapter 15. Verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So I know there are many, many similar verses along those lines in the Old Testament, and I think everybody would agree with that. And there really probably is no controversy when it comes to Christian circles as to who people pray to in the Old Testament. God. Well, controversy starts with the coming of Jesus Christ. Do we pray to him? Has he taken over the responsibility for prayer now? And you can go down the road of logically thinking things out and say, well, Jesus is the head of the body, so we should be able to pray to him. However, do the scriptures support that? Certainly, you might think it's logical in your, in some logical way of thinking that way, but do the scriptures support that? One doesn't necessarily imply the other, right? That he's head of the body and that we should pray to him. What do the scriptures say? Well, let's look at it. John 14. I'm going to look at some verses here that people have used and considered to, that might have, caused them to think that you pray to Jesus, but let's just see what they talk about. John 14, let's see what the scriptures tell us. And verse 14, chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what did he say? Ask in my name. He said, but who are you going to ask? Well, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So what was he talking about here? He was talking about praying in his name. Isn't that what he said? Did it say, pray to me? No. Look at John 15. We'll keep on going looking at these. And I'm just looking at verses that people have taken to try to say. And, people who are, that have built doctrines around some of these verses to teach that we're to pray to Jesus. Well, let's just keep reading. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of who?
The Father.
Ask of who? The Father. In my name, he may give it to you. He made it very clear. Ask who? Ask the Father in my name. John 16. We're going to keep going here. Verse 23. This is some of the areas that are used, these verses that are used. Like I said, verse 23 in John 16. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, ask who? The Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So who was he suggesting that people ask? The Father. But he was saying, ask in my name. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I started studying the material that, you know, I've covered fellowship a few times about the responsibilities of Jesus Christ and the exaltation of Jesus Christ. One of the questions that I wanted to answer from the scriptures was, do you pray to Jesus? So that's why a lot of this, I hadn't never really taught it, but I thought maybe it'd be worthwhile just looking at some of these verses. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Who? Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Luke chapter 6. And again, there are so many verses, but we just picked some that are fun to read. Luke chapter 6. This is Jesus Christ before he was going to pick the apostles. Verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Who do you pray to? Who did Jesus Christ pray to? God. Who did he recommend? Who did he suggest that we pray to? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 11. So at one time, you know, they knew that John had taught his disciples to pray, and well, they were going to ask Jesus, well, would you teach us to pray as well? Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So who was he teaching them to pray to? To God. That's interesting that those who do teach that you can pray to Jesus often recite the Lord's Prayer. Probably most people who believe that recite the Lord's Prayer. And who's the Lord's Prayer to? God. Interesting, isn't it? That's the way it is. Acts chapter 12. Now, you might think, you know, we're going to work hard on this topic here. Now, you might think, okay, I get it. I understand the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet, so you couldn't pray to him. In the Gospels, Jesus was on earth, so you couldn't pray to him either because he was right there. Surely, after he left and ascended after the resurrection, now is when you can pray to him. Well, let's take a look. What does the scriptures say? Acts chapter 12, verse 5. This is after he's gone. When Peter was in jail, it says in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Who were they praying to in order to get Peter out of prison? Was to God. This is after Jesus Christ is resurrected and ascended. Look at Acts chapter 4. This is a wonderful record. Acts chapter 4, when they'd healed this man and got into a little bit of trouble for doing good. Surely that doesn't happen today. 4:18. And they called them, you know, they had done this great miracle, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Or the vernacular, you figured out. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for what that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. To who? They needed to pray. There was a situation. They had been teaching about Jesus Christ. They got in trouble for it. And now they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the people heathen and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. There is a difference. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus. Who are they talking to? They're talking to God. And they're in fact here talking about Jesus Christ to God. At this point, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is exalted. He's ascended. He's been resurrected. He has given all authority over all power, might, and dominion. And yet, who does the Bible say that we're to pray to? God. Okay. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel will gather together, for to do so whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Who are they speaking to? God. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There is a large portion of Christianity that is dedicated to praying to Jesus Christ. And so it's worthwhile for us to understand this particular topic. Because, you know, certainly if the scriptures said it, we would do it. But the scriptures do not say it. Not only do they not say it, they enforce time and time and time again that prayer is to God and to God alone. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised. I'm in verse 8. First, I thank my God. The first verse is nice too, but verse 8. First, I thank my... Who do you thank? My God, through Jesus Christ for you all. Now you're going to start seeing in the New Testament a lot of times because Jesus Christ said, pray in my name. In the Old Testament, we couldn't pray in the name of Jesus Christ because he hadn't come yet. He hadn't been born yet. Right? When he came and taught them in the Gospels, he goes, you'll give thanks, you'll pray in my name. And you start seeing that when they prayed. Verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, recognizing the power and authority in the name of that God vested in the name of Jesus Christ. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Look at Romans chapter 10, please. Romans 10. Verse 1, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's talking to God about Israel being saved. Who is he talking to? God. You see it time and time again. We'll skip the next verse, but there's another particular concept or a word that we should understand, because some of these verses are used to say you can pray to Jesus, but let's just see what it says here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is another thing to understand regarding the name of Jesus Christ, and it's very important to understand it. Verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Here the words used are call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Is that prayer? Well, what does it mean? Well, the word call here, used about 25, 30 times in the New Testament. You can look them all up. A lot of them have to do with, you know, I call my son Joe, or I call my daughter Ruth, or whatever. You're giving a person a name, but that is not the use here. The use here is the use where you're calling on a name for advantage or interest to appeal to somebody. And we'll show you an example of this in Acts chapter 25. Acts chapter 25. So talking about calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And here's an example of the same use of that word. And we'll see. It's very simple. I'm sure you guys all know what it means. Acts 25. When Paul made his defense before Festus, at one point he says in verse 11, "For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things which whereof thou accuse, these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal," that's the word call, "unto Caesar." So what does it mean? It means you're calling on a name. Was Caesar there? Was Paul praying to Caesar? No, what he was doing was he was invoking the name of Caesar because there was authority behind the name of Caesar to possibly help him out of the situation. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians is. You call upon the name of Jesus Christ because God has vested the authority and power in that name to call upon that name for salvation. It is not prayer. It is calling or appealing on the name. It's the same, and we'll look at Romans chapter 10. It's also another wonderful use of these words here that shows us this. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 9, the first verse that everybody must believe, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So here we're talking about salvation and how salvation is received by believing Jesus is Lord, and that God has raised him from the dead. For there is no difference. So verse 11, for there, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Context, believing on the name of Jesus Christ, yes? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich, all is rich over unto all that call upon him. The same word, calling on the name, believing on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. This is not talking about prayer. For whosoever, verse 14, how then shall they call on him? How is anybody going to call on the authority in the name of Jesus Christ for salvation if they haven't not believed? And how are they going to believe if they haven't heard about that name? See, no one can confess Jesus Lord and believe that God is raised from the dead if they haven't heard about it. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, they're not going to hear if no one tells them. And how shall they preach, and so forth. So there, the word call is used three times there, but you can see, what is it talking about? It's calling on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, because it is God who has put that power in the name of Jesus Christ. This is not talking about prayer. So when it talks in Corinthians about calling on the name of Jesus Christ, it's everything that we've all done. And if you haven't, you ought to. There's a bunch of examples of this. You might remember, we just read Acts 3. When they healed, Peter and John healed that man, when they were kind of put on the carpet, what did he say? They said, how'd you do this? He said, by believing on the name of, the faith in his name has made this man whole. There it is, calling on the name of Jesus Christ to bring deliverance. When they were questioned in Acts chapter 4, he said, there is salvation in no other name. He's talking about salvation in that name, invoking the power that is resident in that name. None of this is prayer. One time Peter says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Invoking the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, for deliverance. Again, not prayer. Because God has put that power in the name and it's been given for us to use. But it's not talking about prayer. There's another one in Acts, 2 Corinthians 12 that we should look at. 2 Corinthians 12. Again, a section you're well familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So here he says, I besought the Lord thrice. Is this prayer? I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want to show you Acts chapter 26. Let's keep this in mind. We'll go to Acts 26. So he besought the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple. Jesus Christ made an interesting statement when he first appeared to Paul in Acts 26, verse 16. He told him, but rise, talking to Paul, Jesus talking to Paul in Acts 26, 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto, what did he do? He had appeared unto him for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. See, Jesus Christ appeared unto Paul more than once in his ministry. That's what he told him that he was going to do, and that's exactly what he did. During those times, Paul besought him, look, I've got a problem. And Jesus told him, look, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, okay, I'm going to trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Has he ever appeared in the Newton Bible to anybody else? How about Ananias? Didn't he have a little conversation with Ananias? Ananias, I want you to do this. I said, I don't know about that. And you know this guy. He goes, yeah, I know. I want you to go. Did he go? Mm-hmm. Sure, he went, right? He appeared to Paul. How about Stephen when he was dying? He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. What was he seeing? What was he seeing? He saw a vision of Jesus Christ. You see, it's not prayer. It's calling on him when he appeared to them or calling on his name for authority. None of those are prayer. That's not what it's talking about. Look at, see, if you were supposed to pray to Jesus Christ, you would think that it would lay it out very, very simply in the New Testament. It would tell you. It would give you examples. But if you go through the New Testament, and you can go through it, the Gospels, the New Testament, you're never going to find a case where anybody prays to Jesus Christ. It does not happen. It's not there. You see people calling on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, beseeching him when he's there, but you don't see them calling or praying to Jesus Christ. It just doesn't happen. In fact, you know, even some of the positions that Jesus Christ has been given, he's been made the high priest, right? He's our high priest. Well, in the Old Testament, did they pray to the priests? No, they did not. You see, so even in some of the positions he's been given, there's no question. Well, in the period we're currently living, God has given us another way to pray now. And if there was one time where he was going to say, now with this new way of prayer, we're going to make it to Jesus Christ, this would be it. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 14. Have things changed? 1 Corinthians 14. Of course, we're talking about speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks? So you're praying, you're giving thanks, saying you understand it's not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So we're talking about praying in tongues, giving thanks in tongues. What does verse 2 say? He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh unto, not unto men, but unto who?
God.
So who is that prayer going to when you're speaking in tongues? Is it going to Jesus?
No.
No, it's going to God. Even the new form of prayer that God invented, you know, gave us, I hate using that word, it seems so shallow, that God gave us for our blessing, right? That too is to him. Not to Jesus. You think if he was wanting to change something, that would have been the time to do it. But even then, that goes to God and to God alone. First, so we'll close with this. Well, look at a bunch more scriptures. Colossians chapter 1. Just a little bit of perusal to the New Testament now. Colossians chapter 1. So we saw in the Gospels, and sorry, the Old Testament, prayer was to who?
God.
To God. During the Gospels, prayer was to who? God. What did Jesus Christ teach? Pray to God. He will answer you. Pray in my name. So there was a change of praying in my name. And we see in the book of Acts, they started praying in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you see now, and when we get to the epistles and the later understanding that these men received, more, and we're going to look at a bunch of verses here, prayer is to God and to God alone, not to Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, being unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever, in word or deed, do all in the name, there it is, the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to who? God. Prayer is to God in the name of Jesus Christ and the Father. By him, by way of him. See, God's approach, God said in this time period, your approach to me is by way of Jesus Christ, but the prayer is to him. But we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank who? My God, upon every remembrance of you, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy. Who was Paul praying to? God. Of course, the poster verse, Philippians 4. I call this the poster verse because you see it in a lot of posters. Verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who?
God.
See, could God say it any more clearer time and time and time again? No, couldn't be any clearer. So why do people get it wrong? Because a lot of people don't come to the scriptures, do they? They go by example. They go by the preaching of religion and so forth. But the scriptures are very clear. There's no question here. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philemon, which chapter, bro? Trick question, eh?
Notice I didn't answer.
I know you didn't answer. You're wise. Philemon. Philemon, and in verse 3, Philemon, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. 2 Timothy chapter 1, almost finished. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Who does he thank? I thank God. Who was he praying to night and day? To God. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we know that God made Jesus both Lord and Christ. So in the Old Testament, God is referred to as Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is referred to as Lord, and sometimes God is referred to it, depending on the context. And here's one example. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Well, someone says, oh, that's got to be Jesus Christ because he's Lord. And his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, you might think that, but that is a quote from Psalm 34, 15, which is talking about who? God. So who is it referring to? It's referring to God. God's eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open. That's exactly what Psalm 34 says. God's ears are open to our prayers. He's the one we pray to. And we'll close in Ephesians. Certainly we could have read so many more verses, but hey, why don't we just close in Ephesians chapter 3. There's not a single mention. The Gospels, New Testament, anywhere, of prayer to Jesus Christ. There's not one. There is calling on his name for deliverance and salvation. There is people talking to him when he appeared to them, when Paul besought him, or he spoke to Ananias, and so forth, but never prayer. And pinnacle revelation, you think if God wanted to tell us again, he might do it here, but he doesn't. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, because of everything that God has done for us in the work of Jesus Christ, Paul writes in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto who? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees unto God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us. Unto him, God be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, through the Lord, because that's what God wanted us to approach him throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So prayer, what do you pray to? God, and God alone.